This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And if you have questions for our retirement planning professionals from Klaus Financial, they'd love to answer them for you right now. Our number's 321-1310, toll free 877-235-1310. Don't forget, as always, you can find Klaus Financial online, klausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Telephone number for Klaus Financial's office right here in Madison, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. Don't forget, coming up later in the program, you're going to hold on to that telephone number. We'll have our Klaus Quiz Question of the Week, your chance to win a fantastic prize this week, a $25 gift card to Best Buy. A little tip is, you listen to the show, typically the answer to the Klaus Quiz Question of the Week comes up during the program. Joining us this week in studio, CJ Klaus, along with Malia Cuevas. How you guys doing today?
Great.
Fantastic. Malia, how are you this morning?
Excellent, thanks.
Great to talk to both of you. And before we get rolling, one of the things that we started last week, which was a great idea on your guys' part, which is to review the previous week's Klaus Quiz Question of the Week. And let's talk a little bit about last week's question and what the answer was to last week's Klaus Quiz Question.
Yeah, last week we were talking about how much everybody is currently saving in the United States. And so looking at savings rates, personal savings rates of Americans. So according to the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis back in 2016, the answer to the question was, what was the personal savings rate? And the answer was 5.7%. So for those of you that got it right, good job. And next time, those of you who got it wrong, now you know the answer.
Yes. And Malia, I know you pointed this out last week, but that includes saving for retirement. That's not just rainy day fund there. That's everything.
That's the total. Ooh, so you need to beef it up a little bit, Sean.
Exactly. Malia Cuevas and CJ Klaus joining us this morning from Klaus Financial. If you have questions for our retirement planning professionals, give us a call right now at 321-1310, toll free 877-235-1310. It's that time of year. A lot of us thinking taxes, talking taxes. And there's always that question. And I think depending on where you are in life, sometimes the answer changes. But it's a debate is who to do your taxes, how to do your taxes. Do you hire someone? Do you buy software? Try and do it yourself. What should you be doing here?
We get this question a lot from people. They come in and say, hey, I don't like spending the whatever it is, $300, $400, $500 a year on my tax return from the accountant down the road, mm-hmm. H&R Block, whatever it might be, because it seems so simple. Should I be doing them on my own? Should I get professional guidance? And truth be told, this is actually a trickier question for us to answer than people realize. In general, getting professional guidance on anything is a good idea as long as it's cost effective. But on tax returns, if you're just W-2 employee, 9-to-5, you know, you don't have any 1099 wages, you have a single home, in many circumstances, using a TurboTax like Technology Online, they'll ask you some of those questions as you go through. And so it's kind of, in some ways, it's dummy proof. I hope I'm not offending anybody by saying dummy proof. You know what I mean. We actually encourage, if you feel confident and competent and generally how to file that tax return and you're willing to use a TurboTax that asks you some of the key questions, we actually think that is completely fine. Where it becomes trickier is when you have rental properties, right? When you have your own business or part of your income is 1099, you utilize space inside of your home for office space. You're purchasing outfits that are part of a uniform that are deductible. That's where you start getting into tricky things. Or mileage reimbursements or deductions for traveling here and there. That's when we start going, you might want to seek out the guidance of an accountant because you just don't want to be wrong on that.
Remember when I was living in Minnesota, a lot of folks also living on one side of the border, working in the other, or doing work in different states. That can create some issues too.
Yeah. But again, if we kind of took a swath of our entire clientele, probably more than 50% of them are both husband and wife, W-2 employees, right? Simple income, single home. And so in many circumstances, doing them on your own can be just fine.
What are some of the benefits then of hiring somebody? What are some of the reasons to do so?
Go ahead, Malia.
Well, so really, as CJ said, maybe 50% can go ahead and get by with a simpler program. Mm-hmm. The other 50% make up for the difference, meaning that they do have some really complex items when they're looking at maybe taking gains and losses against their different types of investments. They own their summer home, their winter home, and everything else, and looking at, does it make sense to, am I renting it out, and all of this type of income. So what we do find is if people don't kind of relook at things over the years and say, am I missing some deductions that, you know, I'm not aware of? That's where it could make sense to actually hire that professional. What we find is finding the right professional, a good fit for you, could be from A to Z, meaning that not everybody has to have a CPA. A tax preparer oftentimes can do just as good of a job, or what they call an enrolled agent. But the point of it is there is time, and I would say as people get older and older, we have clients in their late 70s who have always been doing it themselves, but maybe their situation has changed over the recent years with their own inheritances, and they're afraid to give it up to an accountant. And we would just encourage people to make sure you're getting help along the way as things get a little trickier for you to understand, because you really do want to make sure, you know, at the end of the day, you're saving as much as you can in taxes. Everybody's got to pay their due share, but we want to make sure that, you know, you're taking advantage of all the correct deductions as possible.
Well, and to Malia's point, as people get older and as they get into retirement, they don't want to have to mess around with so much of the details. And there can be additional complexities that start to enter the equation, such as if you're drawing Social Security, depending upon what your total income is, 50% of your Social Security is income taxable, or upwards of 85% of your Social Security is income taxable. But it's based upon your total income in the household. So knowing those numbers or having an accountant that knows them could be beneficial. There can also be real estate tax freezes if your income stays below certain levels. So these are things that as you get older, even though, you know, you may still have simple Social Security, simple IRA distributions, the complexity goes up just a slight notch once you get into retirement and how those things interact with, again, real estate taxes, Medicare, things like that.
You mentioned complexity. Has it also gotten more complex over time? It's just as far as when we look at filling out tax forms.
And no, it's actually really simple now.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting fact. Here's an interesting fact. Here's where Sean is going with that leading comment. So when the IRS 1040 tax form was introduced back in 1914, it had only 3 pages, including the instructions. Let me repeat that. Back in 1914, when the IRS 1040 tax form was introduced, it had 3 pages, including the instructions. Now today,
CJ, you could fill those out then, right?
Exactly. Now today, the 1040 has 101 pages of instructions alone. So anyway, bottom line is, you know, people can understand taxes have definitely got more complicated. And now, truth be told, with the Affordable Care Act, if you are one of those, call it 15% of Americans who don't have a group health insurance plan, who need to rely on the Affordable Care Act type of insurance, that's another layer of complexity relative to your total income, because your subsidies, or how much the government offsets your cost, is directly driven by your total income. So if you're one of those Americans where you say, hey, my income's still pretty simple, but I'm on the Affordable Care Act insurance, that might be another layer where you say, I need to get help from an accountant.
We touched a little earlier, too, about the importance of making sure that you pay taxes that are due to you, but making sure that you're getting any type of savings and those type of credits. Let's talk a little bit, too, and right in your guys' wheelhouse is kind of planning for your future and retirement and those tax situations. It's pretty important to kind of put plans in place and to be thinking ahead when it comes to tax preparation as you get into retirement or move towards retirement.
Right. And you know, CJ has said many, many times on our show that we can work hard to get our clients the best returns as possible. But if we're not looking at the tax end of things, and we're not accountants, let me just put that out there, we are not accountants. But if we're not looking in the best interest of our clients and referring them to an accountant to look at specific situations, when it comes to future estate planning, whether it be gifting, ending up with a sizable estate that's going to be almost 50% taxable. If we've not done our due diligence by having, maybe some trust work put into place for clients to make sure that there could be some tax savings on the way out. You know, you work your whole life, and if your life ends sooner than expected and money starts flowing to your beneficiaries, you certainly don't want to think in the end, okay, the IRS actually ended up with 50%, a good chunk of all of my life savings. So that's where we really, the complexities come in. We really do need those professionals, attorneys and accountants working together with our clients. So I just want to point out one thing, too. If you are ever audited, which is not as common as you would think, but if you are, it is nice to have a good CPA by your side, because they can actually help you work through it. And personally, I've heard several of my clients who've been through an audit, they survived, but it's quite a taxing thing of all things. So having a professional next to you does help. Interestingly enough, in 2015, 40,000 audits actually resulted in refunds.
Oh.
So isn't that interesting? Over $1 billion was actually refunded to people who were audited, which, I think is alarming. So I guess if you find out you're being audited, don't sweat it. Maybe there's something good out of it.
I like the way you think. Malia Cuevas, CJ Kloss joining us this morning from Kloss Financial. Don't forget, you can find them online, klossfinancial.com. I'll spell that out for you. It's K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Their telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. If you have questions for Malia and CJ, they would love to answer them for you right now. Our number's 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. We'll continue our conversation with our friends from Kloss Financial. We'll talk about that refund word. A lot of us forget what that refund word actually means, and we're getting a refund. We're not getting a payment. We'll talk about that next with CJ and Malia as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here, 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And our telephone number is 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. Joined this week by CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas of Kloss Financial. If you have questions, again, they'd love to answer them for you right now. Don't forget, you can find them as well online, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Their office here in Madison, telephone number 442-5635. That's 442-5637. Also going to want to hold on to that telephone number. Coming up a little bit later on in this half hour, we'll have our Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. Your chance to win a $25 gift card to Best Buy. Talking taxes this morning. One of those facts of life that is inevitable. Everybody's got to deal with them. Talked a little bit earlier about the importance of, if you do get audited, nice thing having a CPA. It's also nice having a CPA that's worked with you that knows a lot of the background as well, not somebody that's kind of having to get up to speed on things as well if you are ever subject to an audit. Let's talk about some of the areas when it comes to taxes that if you, as an investor, things you should be focusing on, things that you need to know about.
Yeah, so for those who are kind of beginning their financial planning lives, we think it's important to focus on big topics like budgeting. And we've talked about budgeting on this show before, and making sure that you're saving appropriate amounts and having a basic allocation into growth-oriented stock, mutual funds, yada, yada. And these are kind of Dave Ramsey-esque kind of planning items. And too many times people actually want to jump to the end of the rainbow and talk about the complex, like after-tax, real rate of return issues, what about inflation? And those are really interesting discussions, but they need to be kind of down the rainbow, so to speak, not right away at the beginning. So when we talk about after-tax rate of returns, this does start to get into some more of the finer details. We're assuming that you're budgeting. We're assuming that you're paying down debt. We're assuming that you're saving and you understand asset allocation. Once those things are taken care of, then we say, hey, If one particular position in your after-tax portfolio has a much higher tax burden on it than another one, we need to look at what we call the real rate of return, which is net of taxes and inflation. Obviously, because that's what you're going to actually receive in your pocket and be able to go out and spend. Where taxes also becomes a big issue is when you start talking about after-tax annuities, or what are called deferred annuities. Again, I'm not giving you a comprehensive list of pros and cons of annuities, but rather an annuity creates tax deferral. But then when you go to pull money out of that annuity typically, or if you cancel it, it's called LIFO, last in, first out, which means all of that growth has to have income taxes paid on it before you get back down to what we call the basis or the original after-tax money that you put in. So sometimes these finer details can be, or they call the devils in the details, right? These finer details can end up biting you in the but later on if you didn't understand what you were purchasing up front.
Let's talk a little too about certain strategies depending on where you are in life and how, you know, where your finances are. For certain people, there are certain things that can be used, whether it's a foundation or other things, to help offset some of these taxes. Let's talk a little bit about some of those.
Yeah, okay. So go ahead, Malia.
Yeah, so again, as CJ alluded, this is where we're getting towards, I hate to say end of the rainbow, but later on in life with the creative estate planning that might need to take place, looking at maybe setting up irrevocable life insurance trusts that will pay out at some point, in order to help settle an estate, making sure that there's liquidity and so forth that's outside of taxation. Making these kinds of decisions are serious decisions. Anytime you use the word irrevocable, that really means you can't change it. So not necessarily our first choice in a lot of cases for our clients, but looking at where does it make sense depending on your taxable situation for your estate. As we've told our listeners, you know, the federal estate exemption is over $5 million, 5.4. So most of us don't fall into that category, but if our estate, you know, become that through inheritances and so forth, it's nice to know there are a lot of different strategies to be able to put into place. So we want to stay a little more basic today. So CJ, you think you're going to talk about refunds a little bit?
I will. And let me just add one other comment on what Malia is saying there. So we won't go into the complexity of what we call high net worth estate planning. But I will say that sometimes people, as they live their lives, they say, I've paid enough taxes along the way. Can I just plan my estate so that upon my death, the IRS doesn't get anything? And the answer is actually usually yes. And the IRS knows this. It's not like they're outside of the loop on it. It's just you might have to give all of your pre-tax money to charities. But there are ways to avoid any taxation upon your estate, generally speaking, upon death. So know that those strategies are out there.
Let's talk refunds. Can I spend it if I were to ever get one?
Well, didn't you already? No, I'm just kidding.
I wish.
So, yeah, refund. So a lot of for all the commercials that pop up around this time of the year, right? It just bugs the tar out of me. I tend to be the one that it's like, hey, when you get a refund, either put that into your emergency reserve, beef up your savings, or pay down your debt. And of course, people look at me and they go, that's not fun, right? I want to go spend this money, which is, of course, why all these, you know, car dealerships are like, hey, you can come in and put a down payment on a car. I hate those strategies, by the way. But a refund is a refund of over too much tax you gave to the IRS. And here's a fun little fact for everybody. If you don't pay the government enough tax throughout the year, and it's over certain levels, over certain periods of time, they will actually penalize you. Let me repeat that. If you don't pay them enough along the way, and this typically is for like small business employers who don't withhold enough for taxes. It's not typically those who are W-2 employees. But if you do that, they will penalize you if you haven't given them enough money throughout the year. Conversely, if you overpay the IRS and they owe you a refund of $10,000 or any number for that matter, they do not pay a penalty to you, nor do they pay you interest. So because of that, here's what we want people to understand. Your goal should be to zero out or get as close to zeroing out as you possibly can. Please, please, please don't make your strategy, oh, I like to overpay the government because then they'll give it back to me at the end of the year and it says, though I never had it. That just to me says that you're not disciplined, right? You're in charge of your own life. You're a responsible adult. Don't overpay the government as a means of like getting money out of your own hands, because effectively you're giving money, too much money to the government. They give you no interest on it. And that just to us is a silly strategy.
Human behavior, though, would suggest that's what people like.
I know.
So we are fighting the forces. So if you're listening right now and that's your strategy, we understand. We're just trying to work against you only because it's better for you to be using your money on a monthly basis rather than storing it up for the government to pay you nothing on it. So you need to work with your planners on this one.
Malia softens the blow of all the interesting ways I say things. Malia's correct. We have plenty of our own clients who do this. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to throw anybody under the bus. I just don't like the strategy.
Yeah.
I know.
What about rather than just saving that with Uncle Sam, putting it in your 401k or something like that?
You can put it in your 401k or put it in a separate savings account. Yeah. I mean, the reality is that in behavioral finance, people will say, if it ends up in my checking account, it's gone.
Yeah.
Right? So I'd rather give it to the IRS because then at the end of the year, they'll give it back to me and it's like a surprise. Oh, look, here's the money. So I get that. Behavioral finance is a real thing, folks. But at the end of the day, again, if you don't pay the government enough, they'll penalize you. If you overpay them, they won't give you a penny of interest, nor will they, you know, pay a penalty back to you. You're just giving them what we call an interest-free loan.
CJ Kloss, Malia Cuevas joining us this morning from Kloss Financial. We'll continue our conversation with Malia and CJ coming up next. We will talk about what you should do if the phone rings. Some very important information there. Don't forget the website, KlossFinancial.com. That's KlossFinancial.com. Telephone number 442-5637. That's 442-5637. We'll continue our conversation with Malia and CJ of Kloss Financial next as Money in Motion continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, joined this week by Malia Cuevas and CJ Kloss. Don't forget the website, KlossFinancial.com. Telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. You want to hold on to that telephone number because in just a moment, we'll have our Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. Just had a caller during the break called to say, I don't need to go on or anything, but I just want to let everybody know I got a $5 refund a couple
of years.
Yes.
We'll
I think that's one you
that
can,
one.
Yeah,
I
you
like
can
it.
Spend it all in one place if you want. Really quick, we hear this in the, come up in the news from time to time. You get a phone number, call, a phone call from the IRS. People want some personal information. What should you be doing there?
We're going to yell no.
Yes.
Do not give information out over the telephone. According to the IRS website, you can check it out yourself. IRS.gov, according to them, because we know there's so many scams, especially this time of the year, the IRS will never call you to demand immediate payment. They will first bill you a bill if you owe any taxes. So if you're hearing someone threaten you that they're going to bring in the police or anything like that, that is not the way the IRS works, okay? So please do not give out your credit card information, debit card information, certainly never your Social Security number. It's just a horrible time of the year because we, even I got a phone call with a demand from the IRS. And, you know, so I'm not 85 years old kind of questioning things. I'm like, this is not right. So please. Please, please do not succumb to that.
Be very, very careful. And Malia mentioned a great website, irs.gov. irs.gov. And you, again, don't be giving that stuff out over the phone. Time
Never.
Now for our Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. In just a moment, I will ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial offices right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer to this week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week, you will win a $25 gift card to Best Buy. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this. Today, the IRS 1040 tax form has over 100 pages, but when the IRS 1040 tax form was first introduced in 1914, how many pages did it have? Telephone number 442-5637. First call with the correct answer will win that $25 gift card to Best Buy. Don't forget that number as well as the phone number for Kloss Financial. It doesn't cost anything for that initial appointment. You can also find Kloss online at KlossFinancial.com, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. CJ, Malia, you guys have a fantastic week.
Thanks.
This is Money in Motion here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Kloss Financial not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial.